Hello, hello, and welcome to Focus with Angela Duncan, where we focus on growing deeper in our walks with the Lord by focusing on God's love, God's heart, and the truth of His Word. I'm your host, Angela Duncan. Thank you to all our listeners who tune in each week on Fishbowl Radio Network, the number one internet radio station. Broadcasting live from Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, we have 4 million listeners tuning in each week. So thank you to our listeners. Do some analytics real quick. Last week, our top 10 countries tuning in were United States, India, Canada, Spain, China, Indonesia, Philippines, Germany, Italy, and Ireland. You can find me on Facebook under the group name Focus with Angela Duncan or on podcast under Focus with Angela Duncan as well. Please go and subscribe. Our goal at Focus is to uplift, encourage, and inspire you by providing you with Christ-centered content that is authentic, informative, and relative. Well, today we have a great show for you. I am super excited to have these two guests that are here in the studio to share their testimonies and their talents with our listeners. Cameron, aka Christian the Musician, is a musician and Christian rapper. His goal in creating music is to save the souls of the lost by pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nasi Salters is a writer, actor, and spoken word poet. Nasi creates motivational and inspirational messages for individuals to help them achieve their goals and live and love their dreams. Although he writes for all ages, Nasi is particularly interested in using his gift to inspire underprivileged youth. As a young husband and new father, he prioritizes the importance of setting positive examples for youth and expanding as opposed to limiting their potential. That is awesome. Please welcome both of them to the show.
Thank you. Thanks
for having us.
Drum roll. So excited to have you guys to share your gifts, to share your testimony. I just think that anytime people can hear other people's journey and also just see what you guys are doing in the kingdom, it's just awesome. So
Absolutely. Just
to start, when I was preparing for the show, the scripture that came to mind was 1 Peter 4. And I'm going to read a little bit of this. So it says, "Since, therefore, Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for human passions, but for the will of God." Then it goes on to say, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks as an oracle of God." Wow. Y'all both do spoken type things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You do things that where you're using your mouth. And it tells us as believers, we have that power, if you will, in Christ to use our mouth, our tongues, as a oracle of God.
Amen.
And so it's really powerful what you guys are doing. You can bring, using your gift to bring light into a dark world during this time, to serve others, serve the Lord, all of those things. So the fact that our voices can be used as an oracle of God is just powerful. So anyway, let's get started.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about that.
Amen.
Both of you, this question is for you. When did you realize that you were gifted in speaking or rapping, and what made you choose this avenue as an artist to share with others? Whoever wants to go first. You can go first.
Like, nah, you're like, my boy, take it. Don't let my homie take it real quick.
I know, right?
Appreciate that. No problem.
What made you choose that? Like, how did you realize that's what that was a gift you had? That's powerful.
Man, I wrote my first poem when I was 15. I remember this like it was yesterday. For my ex-girlfriend, first love at the time. And I could tell by her reaction. I had a gift. And I was like, okay, I got to learn. Because I didn't get saved until I was 17.
Okay.
So I was like really just trying to like, okay, how do you make words rhyme? I just always, you know what I mean? Like, I just kind of like
real.
Always
That's
to,
real.
Yeah, do that. Like, I don't know why I felt the need to rhyme, like, every time I wrote a poem.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just something that just naturally started for you.
Yes, ma'am.
And then you ended up, once you got saved, you kind of transitioned into using it for the kingdom.
I started to incorporate my faith into my writing and other things.
Makes sense.
You know, learning how to verbalize what I had internalized.
Totally makes sense, because, like you said, your shift is different now.
Yes.
Because as a believer, that's kind of your focus now. It makes total sense. Yeah. What about you, Nasi?
So,
am I saying your name right?
You're saying
you
it
know,
perfectly.
Pre-taping, I wanted to get that clear, but I didn't get to.
You're saying it perfect, and I've had my name butchered every way you can imagine.
I'm sure.
I've got Nazi. Oh, people be like,
yes.
No, that's the one I get the most. People be like, Nazi? Wait, what? I'm like, no. I'm like, look, put Na and then put C.
And then C.
And put them together, and we're good.
Good deal.
But, so I've always had a gift of speaking, but it's nothing that I really identified. Mm-hmm. I thought everybody could do it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, words just always have come to me. I remember I was 14, and it was a girl that I was, you know, flirting with, talking to, and
y'all starting with the girls. Let's go ahead.
Crazy. Hey, that's how most of it start. Like, you get your heart broke, you fall in love, or something like that, and you be like, okay, this is my gift.
That's true.
But I was talking to this girl, and she just randomly told me, like, tell me a story. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right. And literally off the top of my head, I just started telling her just this random story. And just words just started coming to me. Mm-hmm. She paused me, brought her brother in the room, put me on speakerphone, and then had me keep telling the story to both of them.
Wow.
And then I stopped, and she said, yo, are you reading from a book or something? I was like, no, is just coming off the top of my head. Like, I'm like, this ain't impressive. This is coming off the top of my head. She said, yo, I ain't never heard nothing like that before.
Wow.
And so when she said that, I was just like, I started paying a little bit more attention to her. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, all right, I got a little gift. And then I went to Oklahoma and Tulsa to be exact. And this is when Mike Todd was still the youth pastor. Mm-hmm. And we did something called Soul Fly Live, which was a talent showcase for everybody in the youth group Soul Fly. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, man, let me try my hand at this real quick. So I would just write stuff down, wrote a couple spoken word pieces. Mm. Everybody went crazy. Everybody went crazy, and I was just like, dang, I guess I'm pretty good at this thing. And just from then on, I've done it at the Potter's House, done it at different churches, and started a YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, and all that. So that's what I'm doing now, and I'm a natural born storyteller, so it just all just went hand in hand.
You know, I always say this, that whatever your purpose is, it's typically like people are always like, what's my purpose? What's my purpose, God? What's my purpose? And a lot of times, if you look back over your life, you will see, like you just said, it was so simple for you. It was something that you've always done. You're a talker. You're a communicator. You know, you're a storyteller. It's always been there. Mm. But God will take it and hone it for, you know what I'm saying, for a specific purpose. And so, like, I've always been a talker. And I was always like, Lord, you know, I was a teacher. And so I talked all the time. You know, I'm up there lecturing and things like that. And I always knew. And then I wrote books and, you know, just different things. And so to look to see that I'm doing a radio show, hello, makes sense, you know. And so I love to hear that you saw that, you know, previously. That's always kind of been there, and just how God is kind of fine-tuning it, you know. So let's talk about a little bit about your testimony. I call this Testimony Tuesday because I do think that it's important for people to understand that your gift, because you are both gifted, but a lot of times it comes from a journey. You know what I'm saying? It comes from something that you've been through, or it comes from something that, you know, you have a story to tell for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So God is so good, I said, in his love, that he always pursues us. He continually pursues us until our last breath. People don't even realize his love continually pursues us.
Amen.
And everybody's journey, though, is different as to how they recognize or come into relationship with the Lord. So whoever wants to go first, let's talk about how you came to know the Lord, period.
I'll let you get that.
Y'all are so hilarious. I'm loving the camaraderie. I wish y'all could see this. Go ahead.
Okay, so
tell much you want to tell. You know, I know you talk.
Oh, I am very open. I ain't got no problem with that. I'm very open.
Your background.
It's just going. I'm gonna have to just
condense it.
A whole lot of years.
50 minutes.
A amount of time. I was actually raised inside of a religious cult.
Okay.
That, and so, like, they taught the Bible, but they perverted it and was the truth.
Not the freedom.
And then only one man heard from God. That man had multiple wives. Mm-hmm. That man had multiple children by those wives. Moved to a whole different country so he could start sleeping with underage girls and stuff like that. And I was abused. I had a severely traumatic childhood.
Oh, I'm sure.
Just put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So these people that were supposed to be teaching about God were the ones abusing us. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, I know you real, mm-hmm. but I ain't never going to church.
Yeah.
And you,
yeah.
I can bet you
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And so because of my traumatic past, I was wild. Boy.
Yeah.
I was wild. Mm-hmm. I got tested. I've done some crazy, crazy stuff.
Wow.
And it was one because I was, you know, they say hurt people hurt
oh, yeah.
people. That
absolutely.
Is absolutely
it
true.
It is so true.
It is, so,
it is
true.
So true.
And then there's just so many things that I had to process, so many different things that I had to go through. And little by little, God was just like, okay, now take this step here. All right, now take this step here. Now take this step here. Yeah. And literally, it felt like my life was out of control, mm-hmm. but he literally was planning each step of the way.
Mm.
And so went to school in New Hampshire. Financial issues happened. Had to come back home. Went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. By this time, I'm 19,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still like, God, you tripping? You ain't gonna mm-hmm. get me in church. I'm done with mm-hmm. all the religious
all
and everything.
The, yeah.
like that. I'm done with
yeah.
everything.
Totally makes sense.
And so I had a guy who I got cool with at my school, and he kept inviting me to church every single week. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Nah, I'm mm-hmm. good. Now, if you've ever been, this is no disrespect to anyone from Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
but if you have ever been to Oklahoma, there is nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do.
Church.
Out there.
A lot of churches.
And coming from, I'm from Jersey,
mm-hmm.
I'm from the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So coming from city life and going to
mm-hmm.
Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
whoo, that was a culture shock. And I'm like, and so literally 1 week, I had nothing to do. I
mm-hmm.
couldn't make up no excuses. So he was like, man, you want to come to church with me? I'm like, fine, EJ, I'll go with you. Come on.
Yeah.
I went. We went to the youth group SoFly. Mike Ty was talking. It was just this was like the early days of SoFly. And if anybody's listening and remember SoFly, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Mm.
We used to sit in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be like 6-7 of us
mm-hmm.
just sitting
mm-hmm.
in a circle. And
mm-hmm.
Mike just used to be talking to us. And he opened up about his addiction to pornography.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And I said, whoa.
This guy's real.
I thought I was the only one
mm-hmm.
going through that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so, like, because I'm like, man, this dude, I'm like, man, he fake, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, all that,
mm-hmm.
that happiness, all that smiling, all that, yo, what's up, man? How you doing? I'm like, man, all that, man, that's all that fake.
That you have now. That's so hilarious.
Exactly. I've been
smiling since you got in here. Look at God. Go ahead. Full circle.
And so mm-hmm. I was looking at dude, and I'm like, okay. I was like, so when he opened up like that, I walked to him. I was like, yo, like you have had an addiction to porn? He was like, yeah, man, like that ruined my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yo, I struggle with that too. As
mm-hmm.
soon as I said that, I felt such a weight come up off of me.
Because the enemy hides its secret.
And then I was just like, you know what? I was like, okay, I'll come back next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come back next week. Went again another week. Okay, I'll go back next week. Went another week. Okay, I can see myself keep going to this. Before you know it, we had a youth night shut-in. I can't remember the date, but it's on my Facebook. We had a youth night shut-in. I was 20 years old. And I said, you know what, God, I'm done fighting you.
Oh.
I said, I'm done fighting.
I love it.
I said, I'm here. And I broke down crying.
I love it.
Broke down crying. And since 20 years old, up until now, I'm 31. I just turned 31 in May.
Wow.
And he said, baby. And from that point on, I've been walking with him ever since.
Oh.
And it's been a ride. It has been a ride.
People need to hear that. And that's why I love Testimony Tuesday, because everybody's story is different.
Mm-hmm.
But people need to hear that. I don't know what it is about 19, but the Lord got hold of me at 19 too. I was getting ready to head and go move off to college. I did my first 2 years and I was heading to go move off to college. This ain't about me, but it's something about 19.
Yeah.
And he got a hold of me so that when I got to college, I didn't wild out. I wild out here.
Mm-hmm.
But when those first 2 years, but then when I got
to real college,
you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I was literally on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I was in church and I was going and, you know, and it was real. So I don't know what it is about 19, 17, 19. Anyways, what about you, Cam?
Man, the journey for me started when I was 17, you know,
yeah.
what I mean? 17. So, man, I was raised by my stepdad and my
mm-hmm.
biological mom.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the pain really gave way to the anointing.
Yeah.
You know, because, man, it was just in the black household. I think in many black households, there's this dysfunction.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that we don't know is dysfunction until we become older.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was the thing that really, I mean, my step. stepdad, he previously served in the military. He was a Marine. But I think that resulted in PTSD because he was a mercenary. It's a lot that he saw. Mm-hmm. And I think it just went unchecked, like untreated. And he took it out on us.
Mm-hmm. You know? I hear that a
lot. That's what drove me to get closer to God, you know, like really just spending more time in my Bible, because I would go to church. You know, we were raised in a church, but we weren't really practitioners. It was just something that we did.
It was
methodical.
Yeah.
You know, so I would just, you know, go in my Bible, you know, just to quell the madness at home. You know, that, you know, I feel like my mother, she kind of was passive, you know, and just like let it happen. Just anything to keep him happy.
Oh, yeah. Keep the peace, yeah.
But because she didn't want to, you know, go through another failed marriage, you know. But it was just a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
You know? And I just wanted, it's like, okay, God, I know you're out there, even though the people in front of me aren't really representing you to the best. I got to get to know you for who you are.
I love that. Because so many people use that as an excuse. Mm. Like, oh, they're not leading it. They're not showing me the right way. But your relationship with, you know, God loves his unique individual relationship with you, not me. It's so unique.
Exactly.
He knows you by name. He knows me by name. So it is about them. You know, they need to do better. Don't get me wrong. But it's about you and him. And so I love the fact that even though you didn't see it, you were like, hey, I know there's more. And I had that situation happen too. I went through some major craziness too. Mm-hmm. And but I knew God was real because I had experienced his love.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, people right now, you know,
yeah.
But I know you're real. And I thank him for that, because I don't know where I'd be without that, because I would have left and I would have been like never again church wise. But his love continued to pursue me, because I feel like I didn't deserve that, you know, because I was like, I ain't thinking about you, da 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 da. But he continued to pursue me until I got to truth. The truth of his heart. And that's what this show is about, is showing people the truth of his heart. Because you can give people religion all day and that doesn't change them. But when they encounter the real, true, and living God, nothing can change you. That experience is real, you know?
Amen.
So that's so awesome. Man, I feel like I'm mic off. We can go home. No. Y'all like, I ain't done my stuff.
You're like, oh, no, we got more to do now. Come on.
You're like, we ain't done our word stuff. So I know, Cameron, many times you minister in places that are like clubs and, you know, things that people, a lot of Christians are like, I ain't going in there, you know?
Absolutely.
And I love that, but you go in and you maintain who you are.
You gotta represent.
How is that, going into like these different places where people are rapping about other things and you're still representing Christ? How what's it been like?
You know, I've always known who I am, you know,
because
I mean, I'm at a point in my faith now to where it's like, okay, I'm knee deep in it, 13 years. So it's not just, you know, I'm not a newbie anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so I can, you know, I'm secure in Jesus.
That's so good.
So that's enough for me, you know?
Yeah.
It's always been easy for me to just get along with people, you know, and I know that's a gift, you know, that's a gift, because that's not always easy, you know, especially like with different personalities.
But, yeah, absolutely.
You know, we all have different traumas, you know, we're all hurt just trying to, you know, love people the right way. And that's really, you know, what it is, because when you've hurt deeply, you want to, it's easier to love people because you never want people to feel how you feel.
There's a scripture that says that.
Say it again. That is so true.
There's a scripture that says that. That those that have been, you know, freely forgiving, that have been forgiving much, forgiven much, love much. Or
exactly.
I'm quoting it wrong, but it basically says that those that have been forgiven much, they love much, or they forgive much, because you understand.
Right.
You know, you like, man, I've been loved through some things, so how dare I, you know?
It ties into like the pain giving way to the anointing, you know, to, you know, increase your capacity to be that
preach
kind of person.
So. Yeah.
Not to cut you off or anything.
No, please cut me off. That's good. I get to talking. I told you. Sometimes I come in here and I just be like, blah, 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 blah. Nasi, you said your writing is geared towards underprivileged youth. And I think that's awesome. Why is that so important to you, though?
So I have a very big heart for the younger generation, for the kids, for the 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds. Because, and I have writing geared towards all demographics. But that one touches really close to my heart, because they're not being taught anymore. Well, no. Let me scratch that. They are being taught. They're being taught the wrong thing.
Yeah. That's
social media is teaching
it.
Them.
Wow. That's
pop
it.
Stars are teaching them.
That's it.
Like, I work for the post office, and so I deliver to the Galleria Mall, and what I see breaks my heart. I'm seeing
12, 13-year-old girls with see-through shirts on and no bra and booty shorts on.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing, like, they wearing the skimpiest of clothing, and these young boys, these 13-year-olds, just pants around their behind, and the way they talk, how they cuss, like, all this different stuff. And I just get so heartbroken.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, man, nobody's teaching y'all. Nobody's loving y'all. Nobody's pouring into y'all.
Yes.
And I know what that's like. There's the number one thing I've always prayed for was wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs is my favorite book in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about wisdom is the principal thing.
Mm-hmm.
All throughout Proverbs it says that, you know, length of days is in her right hand, riches, wealth, and honor are in her left hand. Wisdom, when you're crowned with wisdom, there are things, there are blessings that automatically come because you have it. So I always pray for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the wisdom to be able to reach everybody, and I really want to reach the youngers, because
so good.
Excuse me. What Pac said is true. He said they're telling me there's no hope for the youth is, and but the truth is, if there's no hope for the youth, there's no hope for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth, because they are the future. That, so why are we
time.
Not pouring into
all
them?
All the
so,
time.
And there's so and. I'm going to try not to go down too many rabbit holes. My brain works very, very fast, and my brain will actually start to move faster than my mouth, so I have to calm down.
I think that's why I like you, because we similar. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so I watched something on Netflix called The Social Dilemma, and it's talking about the effect of social media and how it affects our society today. And they said ever since the popularization of Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Twitter, all of that, that the teen suicide rates of teen girls between 12 and 14 went up 200%.
It's crazy.
I said
that the pandemic,
and it's a 200%.
My God.
I said, yo, that's heartbreak. Yo, this is reality. So I'm very creative, so I'm using all of my creative gifts, like writing, like speaking, acting, directing, producing, to bring all of that together.
That's
because
so awesome.
If you entertain people, they learn more.
Yeah.
If you can slip in the truth inside of something entertaining, you'll start to change them slowly and surely. It's just like, I really hate to use this analogy, but it came to me when I was watching this show, Stranger Things, and this is the way the guy said it, so I'm going to say it. But it's kind of like alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
If you give somebody just a little bit, eventually they get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Give somebody the truth, little bit, by little bit, by little bit. Eventually their life will start to change, because they'll start seeing things differently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's the same way as the enemy? The thing is,
very true.
Your truth, that is a very strong truth. Hollywood just got it before we did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've done. They've put it in the magazines. They've put it on the TV. They've put it in our kids' shows.
Mm-hmm.
I have to so monitor what my kids watch.
Me too.
Big time. Because it's little. It's that little leaven that levels the whole lump.
Yep.
And so what I notice is that over and over, they're fed that little bitty things, those little bitty things that are ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
And then before you know it, when something happens around this ungodly, it's not a big deal to them because they've been receiving it.
Yep.
It's the same thing with his truth. The difference is they've just got their foot hole in Hollywood to be able to, like, have, you know, he's the prince of power of the air.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the fact that y'all are using your platform to glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful, Nasi. Somebody said, teach Minister Nasi something. It was your wife. Crystal said it. Thank you, Crystal. She gave me the scripture, Luke 7:47. I was saying it right, but I didn't have a background. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And so, like, you know, the capacity. Cameron, where do you draw most of your inspiration to write your rhymes?
For me, I would say probably daily frustrations.
Mm-hmm. You know? Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
interesting.
So it's like I constantly think about, like, where I'm at in life,
mm-hmm.
you know, the lack of success, you know, just, you know, not really, you know, having goals but having difficulty achieving those goals,
mm-hmm.
you know, things that, like, we all as youth, like, can, you know, identify with,
yeah.
you know, because a lot of us go through many phases in life, you know, and you're trying to just reach that upper echelon. There's a lot of resistance and pushback that you experience. So a lot of that is really just that upward mobility, that climb, you know, no matter how hard it is. So any and everything can inspire me. So, you know,
what do you find that most of your rhymes kind of built around a theme? Do you notice that most of them are, like, very this focused, or, you know?
Mental health is something good. That I, you know, but from a Christian perspective,
absolutely,
you know, it's always Jesus, you know, at the core, mm-hmm. you know, unashamed, Romans 1:16, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, so it's like I tackle a myriad of subjects, you know, mental health would definitely be one, depression, you yeah. know, and anxiety, things
that's
in that
good.
Nature, racism, you know, even mm-hmm. Institutional, systematic racism, mm-hmm. you know, I really just wrote a song about how. I shared my experience about how I was pulled over, mm-hmm. you know, it was like some months ago, mm-hmm. but just like the trauma and everything that goes through your mind mm-hmm. as a black mm-hmm. American,
yeah.
you know, Christian male, you know, it's
yeah.
just like, Lord, you know, I just, you know, so
yeah.
it's a lot of things that, you know, inspire me.
So just basically sounds like daily life or just daily
absolutely.
Things that you go through and then you use it to minister to others or
a lot of my songs, I would say, are open prayers.
Mm.
You know, so like the studio yeah. is really like my quiet place, you know,
wow.
like that's where I go
mm-hmm.
to really, you know, there's a lot of questions and I know God has answers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, the whole why do bad things happen to good people,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
But it's deeper than that. You know,
yeah.
as a Christian, I know.
You know the answer, but
right.
you want to make mm-hmm. sure that other people can.
I know I can't reign unless I suffer, but. I'm starting to feel traumatized. So how much
yeah.
more suffering do I have to go to until I reign with him?
Right,
you know? So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Interesting. Yeah, well, Nasi.
Mm-hmm.
Did I talk about the fact that you're a husband and a father? Did we talk
no,
about that?
We did
yes.
not talk about that.
You have a beautiful
yet.
Daughter. She's how old?
Three. Yeah.
So has becoming a father influenced your writing?
It changes. It changes how you think. It changes your perspective
mm-hmm.
on life.
I agree. Becoming a parent.
When you literally know that this little thing is depending on you for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you... It's funny because when she was born, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we all got a pass before
mm-hmm.
Jesus. And, and man, my pass used to be wild. And when my daughter first was born... I said, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
I gotta call all them women I did wrong. Because mm-hmm. all of them were somebody's daughter. And
ooh,
oh my God,
wow.
how this feels. I literally said, yo, I gotta call all them girls back. Because that was messed up. And it like,
are you
it changes. It changes everything. And I was, and so being a father and looking at her, I'm like, okay, well, what do I want her to learn?
Yeah.
What do I want her to know? What do I want? For her to be second nature, for her
mm-hmm.
not to even think about it, and she just does it.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, it affects my writing. And it also, it's more motivating. It's more
mm-hmm.
pushing. Because, and I was
good.
Talking to my wife about this, and my wife, that woman is brilliant. She said, I was telling her about, I was like, yo, now that I have a daughter, it's like I became a upgraded version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
For all my nerds, it was like I went Super Saiyan 2. And I was like, oh, snap, I done reached a new level. And my wife said, she was like, you know, God says that men are providers.
Mm-hmm.
Providing for me is different than providing for your daughter. So
mm-hmm.
there's a level of you would have never realized you were
mm-hmm.
unless you had a child.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so
mm-hmm.
I was like, that is absolutely true
mm-hmm.
because I look at her and I'm just like, you depended on me, I'm going to go even harder. So literally all of that comes into play whenever I'm writing, whenever I'm speaking, whenever I'm creating.
So good.
Because I want her to learn. And I know if she learns, she's going to teach other kids. But also there are other kids that I want to watch this as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are other kids I want to hear this as well so that they can know, so that they can hear. And that... all of that plays a part whenever I sit down in front of a blank screen or in front of a blank piece of paper. And I'm like, all right, let's go ahead and create.
So awesome. Mm-hmm. That is so awesome. You know, greatest commandment is to love God with all our hearts. And the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so the fact that in the back of your mind and in the forefront of your mind is always about, to me, that sounds like loving others
mm-hmm.
for sure. And that has to flow from the love of God. So that's powerful. Okay. So we're going to get ready to do some talent. I need y'all to get ready to share. I don't know who wants to go first because Cameron has rap. He raps. He's a Christian rapper. Nasi is a spoken word artist, poet.
Yes.
So.
Step up to the mic.
Let's do it.
I'll go first.
Let's go, Nasi. What's this? What is this titled?
This is called What Is Your Gift?
Okay.
You were created with something inside of you that you were supposed to release. This thing that hides and resides on the inside of you is what makes you unique. If you haven't identified this, you are drifting through your life, sleep. If you don't use this, you're useless like a whale that's been stranded on a beach. By not operating with this, you'll never lead and always be following like a sheep. We have all been blessed with this, from the CEO of Amazon to the homeless beggar on the street. Even while you dream, this thing will speak. In the midst of your sleep, this thing will instruct and teach. It'll randomly give you ideas no matter what you're doing, like when you shower, breathe, or eat. Until you decide to fully listen to this thing, your wants and desires will always be out of your reach. This is not some hearsay knowledge to try to make you happy. This is a paradigm shift, designed to define and resign your mind to the notion that this lot in life is all you will ever get. You know that old saying that ignorance is bliss? Well, nothing could be further from the truth, because not knowing this will have you longing for the palace while still keeping you in the pit. Mm. This thing is not your education. Hmm. This thing is not to be missed. Hmm. This thing is not your family bloodline. This thing is sweeter than a kiss. This thing is not your intelligence, even though you like to believe that it is. No, this thing can be summed up in two very simple words. Your gift. A gift can be defined as the thing you do with ease that brings you the most amount of joy. An example of a gift could be that you wrote short stories or poems as a little girl or a little boy. Your gift may be working with your hands because you were fixing and building while other kids were playing with toys. Your gift could be playing the drums because you always got in trouble for beating on the pots and pans and making noise. There are many types of gifts, and even though we all have one, they're still special all the same. The way that there are many doctors, pediatricians, podiatrists, dermatologists, and neurosurgeons that work on the brain. Even though they are all in the same profession with white lab coats, pristine without a stain, they are still special in what they do and can value their particular lane. See, when you know what your gift is, you're not looking at other people trying to compete, because you're confident and secure in what and who you are, along with the assignment you were put here to complete. This is not the NBA Finals, where only some are victorious while others have to taste defeat. We have all been called to lead in our area of gifting on top of our individual mountain peaks. Singing is a gift. Cleaning is one too. Like, maybe you can change the messiest apartment into a 5-star hotel room simply because you want to and not because anyone forced you. Cooking is a gift. One of the best, in fact, because eating is essential for life, and if you can make essential delicious, then people will support your gift and make sure your bank account will never lack. There's the gift of leadership, acting, motivation, preaching, teaching, speaking, inspiration, working with your hands, caring for the elderly and children, organization. Even gifts that seem ordinary are extraordinary. Like telling jokes, cutting hair, or even baking. Marie Callender baked her way into families' homes across the world. Wow. She had been writing recipes and cooking since her days in South Dakota as a little girl. She started selling pies out of her house just to sell at a local shop. So many people started buying her pies, she had to work through the night nonstop around the clock. She started out making 10 pies, and after a few years, it went to 200 pies a day. She sold so many pies in the 1960s, she created a brand that's still around today. When you're operating in your gift, it doesn't matter who or where you are. People will come find you to pay you for the gift that flows from your heart. Marie Callender started in her house, and now you see her name in every frozen food section as soon as you walk through the supermarket entrance. Because it's never about where you start when using your gift. It only matters where you decide to finish. Marie Callender now has 65 restaurants across the USA. They now make 200,000 Marie Callender pies a day. She never could have imagined her gift would have taken her so high. But she would have never even known if she didn't at least try. So the 65 restaurants, the 200,000 pies a day, and the delicious desserts that families and office parties love to buy all came from Marie Callender using her gift to do one thing, to bake one pie. Telling jokes doesn't sound like a gift that could be all that great, because that's something you do with friends barbecuing or sitting with the family fishing on a lake. No one says they want to make a living from telling jokes. Family would tell you that that's a dumb dream to try and chase. They would tell you to stay at a job you hate simply because it could provide for your family and because it's safe. Well, there was one person who never followed that advice. A man that practiced, perfected, and performed his gift with excellence no matter what the price. He honed his gift with such mastery, delivering jokes so clean and precise that if you got the chance to ask him, he would tell you he never would have imagined his gift would have elevated him to such heights. When he was younger, he would stutter every time he would speak. As he got older, he was just known as one of the funniest dudes in the streets. Telling jokes got him his own radio show, then his own TV show like Dr. Phil, Oprah, and Maury. Telling jokes, man, this man a household name. a man by the name of Steve Harvey. Kings of Comedy, Showtime at the Apollo, the Hoodie Awards, Steve Harvey Radio Show, Steve Harvey Mentoring Program, Comedy Tours, Steve Harvey TV Show, vacationing on private beaches and exotic shores, all came from this man knowing in his core he was supposed to make people laugh, whether they were rich, middle class, or poor. In Proverbs, it says your gift is like a precious stone and that it'll bring you in the presence of great men. If you look throughout history, you will find people who, after they mastered their gift, their lives weren't the same since. A gift doesn't care if you're black or white, donkey or elephant, left or right, fat or skinny, or the measure of your height. It will shine on you a light so bright that will reveal who you are and clarify your sight. A gift will move and shake, bend wills and make boundaries break. Give you opportunities even if you show up late. Every position may be filled, but your gift will make space. A gift will bring you in front of presidents and queens, sheiks and kings, heads of state, princesses, cabinet members, CEOs, CFOs, and prime ministers, princes, senators, and heads of royal assemblies, governors, mayors, and ambassadors of embassies. This is a law that has been established. This is not a maybe, might have, or an if. So I have just one question for you. What is your gift?
I'm inspired.
Woo! Wake up and do it the things. So it's not so loud on the
poetry night.
Wow. That
was amazing.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Good job. How do you remember it. All that?
A gift. That is one
that
of my
is
gifts.
Truly a gift.
Because I drive my wife crazy. We can watch a movie. And we watch it the second time, I'll be quoting the movie.
That's dang. A gift.
I remember things easily.
Given. Wow. That is definitely God-given. That is amazing.
Thank you.
You could be an actor. You can remember a whole script.
He does
yeah.
act.
I do act.
He does
yeah,
act.
Yeah,
yeah. We're going to talk about upcoming things if you have anything coming out in a minute. I can see you acting clearly. Wow. That's amazing.
Thank you. I
that
appreciate
was 7
it.
Minutes.
Yeah.
You told me that, but I'm watching it.
I kept glancing up like, okay, hold me. Sure, you ain't taking too long. I was like, all right, we might need to speed it up just a little bit.
But like, I was like, that was literally, you told me before it was 7 minutes, and it was 7 minutes. I was like, how did he remember all that? Okay, yeah. Cam, are you ready?
Come
Cam
on.
Raps.
Yes, ma'am.
That is so powerful. Oracle. You're an oracle yeah. of the Lord. That's
absolutely,
beautiful.
Man.
That's oh, my gosh.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Cam, let's do it. I've heard you rap, and I know you can rap too, so
yeah.
I'm getting here something different this time. What's this one called?
We Shall Overcome. You know, I had to make a song about Corona.
Oh,
know?
Okay.
So, yeah.
God is good. We walk through Corona. Seasons, so. God is good. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Okay.
We shall overcome.
Amen. In the midst of this pestilence and famine, Revelations is being fulfilled, but the secular man can't understand it. Or considering we're in the last days, even though half of these plagues are man-made. Conspiracy theories are always up for debate, but that shouldn't be the main focus. I saw an article about East Africa being swarmed with locusts. Through it all, if we endure till the end, we'll overcome. As we prepare for the second coming of God's Son, patience is crucial. This future occurrence is indisputable, immutable. I just want you to know. So if you can, be at peace with every man. It's time to come together, sing along, hold hands, hug your brother, let him know how much you love him. Hopefully it won't be much longer till we gotta suffer. The people been strong, won't take long to recover. We shall overcome.
All right.
We shall overcome.
Come on, sing it.
Until the day our work is done. Until it's overrun.
Woo.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Hey. Until the day our work is done. Until it's overrun. It's just a little bit. You know?
Yes! What? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
When I did that inside. Wow.
God be the glory.
Yes. So do you, you have songs out, right? Because you have an app that's
yes.
for your music.
That one is actually on the app.
That's on the app.
Yes.
Okay. So. That is awesome. I think I linked your app on the website, on the, my show.
Thank you.
Page. Somebody said true motivation. Yes, it's my time. Yep, get out there. See, y'all are motivating people. God, there are people that are sitting on their gifts that are ready, but they just need that. It's like something about when you see somebody else just
mm-hmm.
do it.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, if they can do it. That's how I ended up on this show. Give you a quick testimony. My pastor's on one of the shows, and I tuned in, and the Lord had been talking to me about starting a radio show and doing a podcast for a while. But I was like, where do I go, Lord? I want to be able to be me.
Yeah.
I want to be able to your kingdom come, your will be done is what I'm about. And so I want to be able, I don't want to be censored.
Yeah.
And the show that my pastors were on, obviously they were talking about the Lord. And so I was like, okay, where is this place? And so I was like, if she can do it, the host, hey, God gave him a call. The rest is history. And we reach millions of people, you know, a week. And so millions of people are tuning in weekly, and they're hearing the gospel in different ways. Well, you know what I'm saying? Because although we're not just saying, geez, 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 y'all are speaking the gospel.
Absolutely.
You are being a light. The light of Christ dispels darkness. So that's a powerful thing.
Can I say something? Absolutely. I want to tell, because you said it, and then he said it, and then you said it again. About, you asked him, you asked Kim, how does he, like, how can he be in the clubs where, you know, other Christians are not and stuff? Where you go shouldn't determine your witness.
Absolutely.
Where you are, you should be able to be comfortable in your walk with Christ, no matter where you are, and still be able to do the same thing. And not only that, but get past the, it says in Proverbs chapter this and verse that, instead of just living it.
We're like, the best billboard.
We are the living epistles read by men daily.
That's it.
Like, stop. This is what I do with my creations. Like, I'm actually working on an animated pilot right now, script. And I don't ever put the word God, Jesus, Bible, or none of the scriptures. What I have them doing is living it. So that people can understand. Oh, man, that's something familiar about that.
So good.
I want to drop the seed so that they, I want to drop the breadcrumbs so that they pick them up along the way and finally realize, oh, you led me here, but they never realized what it was. So, like what you said, like,
who we are.
Who we are, like, get past talking about the Bible, get past church, the building. And I, once again, another rabbit hole. I will not go down there because people don't even know what church means anymore. I can't even go down that rabbit hole. But live it.
Live
that love. Like I'm telling you, that made a crater in my soul when Mike Todd was, what's up?
Yes.
Don't know me from nothing.
Yes.
I want to move. What?
Yes.
What you want? Like, what's good? Like, you, we got problems? Like, why are you coming up to me? Like, I'm from the East Coast. We are. That's what we do. And it was just like,
you're so right.
It was just like, man, that love, it opens up a lot. So don't talk it. Just live it. You don't even have to quote scripture a bunch of times. Just live it. And people be asked you, man, how
they
do you
know?
And then you tell them about it.
People know when you walk with God, and you walk, when you really walk with the Lord, people know when you don't say anything saved, if you will. People know because the atmosphere shifts. They feel it. They know something's different. They know you have something that they don't. And so you usually don't even have to say that. They'll ask you. I've been posted and been like, what church you go to? You know, and I'm like, I ain't said nothing about church. What? You know what I'm saying? So yes, that's so awesome. Good point. Good point. We are light. We are light. And that was so awesome what you guys just did. Okay. We have a few minutes left, and so I want to have a little fun. Let's do a this or that.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Football or basketball? Nasi.
To play or watch?
Oh, come on. Either. Let's do play.
To play football. Okay. To watch basketball.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Cam?
Basketball for both.
All right. Okay. And I am a football person. I like that. My son is really into basketball right now, and so I'm enjoying it a little bit more. But I used to be a cheerleader, and I always loved cheering for football. So.
Okay.
It's fun. Right. I don't know. It's a little bit more interactive. I don't know. Beach or snow?
Beach all day, every day.
Yeah.
Thinking about it
because you are from
a question.
Yeah, you're from the East Coast, so did
yes,
you?
Yes, I'm tired of snow. I'm tired of the winters that are so cold. It feels like little knives are sticking.
Yes, we were so excited to get snow in Texas. You have no idea, but we were like, you can go home now.
After a while,
good.
Go back.
Okay, coffee or soda or tea. Coffee, soda, or tea? Let's say that.
I'm going to go tea because I don't do coffee. That's my wife. I drink creamer and sugar with a tad bit of coffee if I do drink it. It's like high yellow
in
my
cup. Mine is so good. It's so creamy and
yes.
What about you?
Most of the time, I'm drinking like tea or juice.
Tea or juice. Okay. What about you?
Man, I like soda used to be a guilty pleasure of mine, but now I'd say tea. Coming into tea.
Like a sweet tea, like southern sweet tea?
Oh yeah, it can't be unsweet.
Yeah, it's gotta like have southern sweet tea.
Yes.
You know, some people do. I'm like, oh, you no. literally in the South and you're doing unsweet tea? Okay.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Morning person or night person?
Ooh. Good morning. Let's get the day started.
So you're morning.
Yeah.
Getting up early is not a hard task.
At all. No.
It's not for me either. My body will instinctively wake me up at 6 o'clock every day. Instinctively. Ooh, so but I am a night person because when it's like all pitch black,
same.
My creativity goes same. To like a whole another level. It's like if I can be in the crib 2-3 o'clock in the morning and just write, oh my god, that is the best thing ever.
Did y'all notice I sent y'all information at midnight last night?
Yeah,
keep it real.
11 o'clock. I was like, hey, so sorry to tell you, exactly. It's a little crazy. So
I text y'all the stuff at like 11:58. I was like, sorry, it's late again. I do. That's when I'm the same way. Like mm-hmm. when I study, I used to just drive around at night. I always say this, and I listen that. To worship music, and
yes.
I just feel like I hear God clearer.
Wow. Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not.
Is everybody else asleep?
Yeah, it's still yeah. it's like the same, the extreme. Morning, everybody sleep. I like to go grocery shopping at night. Nobody's in the stores because yeah. everybody gets it during in the morning or during the day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, what was your favorite TV show growing up?
Ooh.
Can we say it on the show? Camp Hall, what was your favorite TV show growing up?
As
a kid.
I really like Smart Guy.
Yeah, it is. I have introduced my kids to that because it's on Netflix.
It
they
is.
Had never seen
and
it.
And on Disney Plus.
Yes.
They were talking about a reboot, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that'd be. Oh, well, they rebooting everything. They might as well.
Yeah, but they rebooted it and it's everything. Not as good because they make it.
They make it censored, yeah.
Like
too watered down.
Well, yeah, they're adding too much stuff for the day. Like they
oh,
always,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
they always
yeah,
got
yeah.
a character, exactly. they always got a you know
Yeah, they always got a token person
mm-hmm,
to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I had so many growing up. That's why it's hard. My favorite show growing up.
Or show you liked, let's say that.
Let me, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, that's a good choice. See, I was thinking about y'all's ages, and I was going to say, I always say Good Times or Jeffersons, but I don't know if y'all had seen that.
I watched Good Times,
okay,
yeah.
Good.
I watched some of Jeffersons, but
do you
I
know Good Times? Time.
Yes.
Okay, I'm
yes.
sorry. Because
you yeah. was like, I'm not far to go with this.
I don't know.
I'm not far to go with this.
I feel young, but I forget. I'm
you look young. Look
I'm a lot older than, I'm not even going to tell you how old I am.
I'll do.
Way older than you guys.
Yeah.
And so I forget. And I'm like, if I say Good Times, they might not even know what that is.
Oh,
so.
No. I know about that.
Right.
With a
okay.
second, let me give you a very close second was Ed and Eddie from Cartoon
and
Network.
And I've never seen that, but I've heard about it. Yeah, I've heard
never
about
seen it.
But Ed and Eddie is that's one of the
I'm
goats.
Dating myself.
That's one of the goat cartoons
that's what
right
I'm
there.
Saying.
Yeah, I would say so.
I'm dating myself. Okay, favorite toy as a kid. What did you like to play with?
So I was dead broke, so I never had toys.
Aww.
Oh wait. Until I started raking people, shoveling people's yards for snow.
Okay.
And I bought my first pair of Yu-Gi-Oh cards,
okay,
and I loved
so you
those.
That,
yeah.
Pokemon and all that.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you?
I was obsessed with the Power Rangers. Like,
give me some. Give me some. Give me some. Yes, sir.
Telling y'all's age.
Yes, sir.
Like,
Power Rangers was it.
Power Rangers was.
All right.
That
last but not least,
because
we're almost out of time. Favorite way to unwind. What do you like to do? Unwind. I pretty much know. Do y'all like to both write to unwind or?
No, actually.
Oh, okay.
I like listening to music.
Okay.
I like listening to classical music, pianos, cellos, violins, and even I really don't know how to describe it, but it's kind of like that movie that it's kind of like the music at the end of a movie when a character leaves for their long journey,
mm-hmm.
like that kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
I love listening
okay.
to as well.
Kind of, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. My husband
yeah.
actually has done some of that. It's called I can't think right now. We got 1 minute. But I know what you're talking about, like the end credit kind of movie.
Yes.
Like right when they're walking off into the sunset.
Yes.
I forgot what it's called. What about you, Cam? First way to unwind.
It don't take much for me. Like, you know, when I get settled in, just like from coming outside from work or whatever, I think if I just like chill on the couch, you
yeah.
know, I'm
just
yeah.
unwind for real.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, awesome. Guys, thank you so much for being here.
Thank
you
for having
your
us.
Talent,
appreciate
for
it.
Your
thank
honesty,
you.
Your realness, your testimony. I
yeah,
really believe
glory.
People were. Somebody's fixing to hop on their gift today.
Amen.
And I thank
I
God for
man.
That. So thank you guys for coming. Tune in next week, same time, same place. Focus with Angela Duncan here on the stream. Have a good one, guys. Focus, how do we-